And today's reading is from Romans 8, verse 18. From suffering to glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labours with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified.
Well, here we are again, all on Zoom. It does seem a bit strange. I have to confess, I felt a sadness when I left the Longcroft last week. I was actually quite looking forward to speaking from the Longcroft for the first time since March, but hey ho. let patience have her perfect work. What a wonderful scripture we heard read to us by Joe just then from Romans 8, and it's just an excerpt from that amazing chapter in an absolutely amazing book. And I was thinking, I've been thinking about these scriptures for many, many months now. And I just wanted to share some of what the Lord's put on my heart. I am nervous this morning. I sense something that the Lord wants to communicate, but I feel like it's kind of too big to be able to articulate properly. I was thinking about a title. I'm not sure if this is going to be neat and tidy, but here we go. And you could think of this as a refrain, if you like. Brace yourselves. There might be groaning now, but glory's coming. Okay? There might be groaning now, but glory is coming. And the very first verse of that passage, as we cut into Romans 8, Paul says, and he uses these words specifically, for I consider, so he's given this some significant thought and pondering, and his conclusion is, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. And then there's this somewhat surprising phrase, in us. There might be groaning now, my friends, but glory is coming. It reminds me of those wonderful verses again from Paul in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, he says, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, says Paul, He's given this consideration. In fact, if we read sections of scripture, we get the sense that actually he's lived some suffering out. He's not just talking off the top of his head. This is through life experience and pain and anguish, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually for Paul. And he still says, don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed, transformed, transfigured even day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding weight, an eternal weight, in fact, of glory. Isn't that amazing? This is in 2 Corinthians 4. And he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. This is some significant perspective alteration that Paul is looking for here. And he's encouraging us to look up and away from this, as Chris prayed, this the kingdoms of this world, and to look up and see our coming King and focus on thy kingdom come. The kingdom that is, in a sense, now and not yet. The kingdom that has come and the kingdom that is coming in all its fullness. And this wonderful phrase, a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, packs some significant punch, doesn't it? So there might be groaning now, but I'm telling you, glory is coming on a whole scale that we cannot possibly conceive of in our finite minds. But the Spirit is at work even this morning to reveal the magnitude and magnificence of the glory that is coming, even in our hearts this morning. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It reminds me of Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just, and we were reminded again about righteousness and the scepter, which is a righteous scepter in the King's hand, and the path of the just, those that he's justified by faith, i.e. you and me, friends, by his amazing grace, the path of the just is like what? The shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. We're on a journey. We sang, didn't we? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We're on a journey. And it's from, if you like, the now where there might be groaning. There is definitely pain and sorrow and tears and longing. But this journey is to glory. And glory, I don't think we fully grasped the magnitude of the glory that is coming. Oh, bless the Lord. Let's open our hearts and minds afresh this morning for the Spirit of God to whisper again in our hearts about the glory. Christ in us. The hope of glory. So what follows in our passage, if you have it with you, is basically, it's quite remarkable. It's a threefold testimony to the future transfiguration, i.e. the shining glory, which awaits suffering believers. I don't know if you've noticed, but in this passage, I've always thought of Romans 8 as an absolute corker. It's just such a wonderful chapter, isn't it? Chapter of the Spirit. Such amazing truth there. But I don't know if you've noticed in our passage that we read this morning, there's an awful lot of groaning. There might well be groaning. You can finish it off. But there's glory coming. So we see, and we're just going to look briefly this morning at the groaning of creation. Creation is the splendor of God's handiwork, but there's a groaning there in the now. We read, don't we, up until now. Secondly, the groaning of Christians. We are the saints of God, living in the now and the not yet. Embrace the tension. And thirdly, the groaning of Christ. In this passage, it speaks explicitly about the Spirit of Christ groaning. So there's this threefold testimony, and they're all linked. I don't know if you're up for a pep talk this morning, but let's just say how it is. They're all linked with groaning. So let's look at the groaning of creation for a few moments. In verses 19 to 22, we learn here that because of Adam's sin, because of the fall, creation was placed under, subjected to futility. It's a really interesting word. It has the sense of meaningless, fruitlessness, vanity, a sense of non-productiveness, if that's a word. Essentially, the idea is of something that is failing to accomplish the purpose for which it was created. Now, that's a remarkable choice of words to describe the groaning of creation as it sits under, not willingly. The creation didn't particularly want this or choose this, but you know what it says? That he, the Lord, placed creation under, and then this beautiful phrase, in hope. In hope. So we have a picture of the whole creation. And just pause here for a minute. The creation, in my humble opinion, is splendid. The changing of colours as the seasons change. The glory of the twinkling stars in a clear night sky. The rainbow that appears as the light is split up into that full spectrum of color through the rain. These are beautiful things. We stand in awe and we see something of the glory of God, but the scripture here reveals that creation is under futility. So hold that thought for a moment. Just imagine what creation's going to be like when it's released into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Imagine the fruitfulness. Imagine the productivity. Imagine what's coming. There's a glory that's coming, even for the creation. We read here, the creation groans, and this is a lovely phrase, a particular favorite of Paul in these verses, eagerly waits for what? The revealing, the revelation of the sons of God, because creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Isn't that such an amazing thought? Oh, wow. I tell you what, these things are just blowing my mind and swelling my heart with hope. There's groaning now, my friends, but glory is coming. Eyes on the prize. You know what? This illustration that Paul uses, he's a brave man, and he does it a number of times. He does it in Galatians, but in the context here, he talks about creation laboring. Listen to this. Creation is not undergoing death pangs, rather birth pangs. Sometimes we think things are going downhill. In God's great economy, we're heading for glory. Creation is heading for glory, the glorious liberty of the children of God. The woman in labor cries out in pain as if at death's door. But in fact, it's a cry of expectancy, not despondency. Did you get that? It's a cry of expectancy, of hope for the joy that's coming. And this image is used here by Paul in regard to the creation. Waiting eagerly in hope. Bless the Lord. Hope, not despair. And so it is, my friends, with intercessory prayer. Now, you might think that's a bit of a tangential leap. But we're following in our passage. We move now to the second groaning, the groaning of the Christians, the saints of God. It says, not only that, but we also. Not only that, in other words, not only what we've talked about in regard to the creation, but we also, the Christians, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, and here's the phrase again, exactly the same, eagerly awaiting for what? The adoption. What's that? In this context, it's the redemption of our body. Paul is explicit here. It's the redemption of our body. Now, there's a wonderful phrase used there, the first fruits. Isn't that such a lovely thought? And wow, that's a big theme on its own. First fruits essentially was the first portion of the harvest and was regarded both as the first, if you like, the first installment, but also the guarantee of what's coming. The guarantee of the full delivery of the whole, that the full harvest is absolutely guaranteed to come in with the first fruits. And we know that the Holy Spirit in our hearts today, right now, is described in the scripture as the first fruits, the pledge, the guarantee of the redemption that's coming. The full package, my friends. Groaning now, glory coming. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I think we need to hear these things. I think we need to preach the gospel to ourselves as we travel through this veil of tears. We've just considered, dear friends right now, who are losing their lives for the name of Christ, laying them down. In prison, persecuted, groaning, no doubt, under the weight of the suffering. I have no idea. I daren't even speak about it. But I stand in solidarity with my brothers and sisters across the globe and proclaim there might be groaning now, but glory on a whole different scale. It isn't worthy to be compared what they're going through with the glory that is coming. I'm talking a weight of glory that is going to be incontainable. Oh, praise the Lord. The glory of the Lord is going to flood the universe on a scale that we cannot even but grasp in this now and not yet. We have the hope of this in our hearts, my friends. We have the hope of glory, Christ, in us. So these first fruits are a guarantee, a pledge for the final delivery of the full weight of harvest glory. Praise him. We know about adoption right now, don't we? Because we have the Spirit in our hearts crying what, my friends? I know you're all muted, but just say it out loud. What's the cry? Adopted son, adopted daughter, what's the cry in your heart with the first fruits in the Spirit? What do you say? Abba, Father, no longer orphans. Jesus promised it. He has accomplished it. And now if you're his, you are in the status of adopted son, full heir, all the legal rights made over to you in Christ. Oh, praise him. That's a whole nother avenue we could go down. We're not going to for the sake of time. I am so unbelievably excited about the gospel, aren't you? You might be going through it now, my friends, but glory is coming. Praise him. Abba, Father, the Spirit of adoption. In our hearts, sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we see more through our tears than we could ever see through the telescopes. I don't know if you like looking through telescopes and seeing the grand perspective, and that's wonderful. Sometimes we need to see the panoramic view. But there's times, and I suggest it's possibly right now for quite a few of us, where the Lord is wanting to show us things, precious things of eternity, through the tears. As George Matheson once said in that beautiful hymn, for now part of our calling, for now part of our calling is to trace the rainbows through the rain. I don't know if you've noticed that wonderful thing that it's only when it's dark enough you can see the stars. I know that sounds a bit cheesy, but it's similar. You can only see rainbows with the presence of rain. Do you see what I'm saying? This isn't how it's going to be forever. But somehow God's redemptive, amazing grace is such that he doesn't waste even the suffering and the groaning and the pain and the heartbreak. He is able to even redeem these things to us, my friends, for all things work together for good. That comes, doesn't it, in the passage? Oh, glory. Come on, you might want to say a little glory ahead of time, because you have the spirit of glory deep inside you, longing, eagerly waiting for this glorious day that is coming. And I think we're supposed to anticipate it, friends. This isn't groaning to gloom. This is groaning to glory. This is an upward trajectory. It's a virtuous cycle, not a vicious one. Oh, praise him. It's an upward call. Is life doing your head in, my friend? Sometimes it does, doesn't it? Don't you feel like you're just carrying too much weight? You're breaking at the seams. Well, let the tears flow. Just let it all pour out to him. And let him remind you again. Sorry, this is all getting a bit messy. I don't care, frankly. We're living in strange days and we need to tap in to the spirit of glory all over again. This is groaning to glory, not groaning to gloom. I feel like a little rap's almost about to happen here. I don't know what's going on. Oh, praise him. Praise him. I don't know what my neighbours are thinking, by the way. Oh, glory to Jesus. He's coming and he's in our hearts. How are we doing for time? We're all okay. I've got a little bit of extra time. It's only 20 past. Are you all okay? Let's keep going. We're building to a bit of a crescendo here. So the groaning of Christians, there might be groaning now, but there's glory coming. Oh, Paul explains this groaning to the Corinthians. He writes really clearly. It's helpful, isn't it, to interpret the Bible with the Bible. My dad taught me that little secret. So here we go in Corinthians 2, chapter 5. It says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. That sounds a bit severe. But for some of our brothers and sisters, that is what's happening right now. We know that we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal. In the heavens, for in this tent we groan, there it is again, earnestly desiring to be clothed. Chris prayed about needlework. I would have loved that thought to carry on. The wonderful handiwork of the one we love. Bespoke garments of righteousness. Oh dear, this is just the most amazing stuff, isn't it? Well, here we go. Let's keep going. Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. I tell you what, there's a big tension. Don't suppress it. Recognize it. Own it. And groan to glory. Oh, praise him. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, as in this body, groan, being burdened, but not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. This is the big punch. That mortality may be swallowed up in life. That's glorious life, the liberty of the sons of God. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing, you could swap thing there for purpose, for this very purpose is God, who has also given us the Spirit, here we go again, as a guarantee. This is signed and sealed, absolutely watertight. Oh, praise him. Praise him. Oh, wow. Isn't it wonderful? So let's just close now with the groaning of Christ. And I love the way this passage moves. We move from creation to Christians to Christ. Likewise, the Spirit, that is the Spirit of the Christ, also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with what? With groanings. It's the same word there, which cannot be uttered. Get that? In the now, the creation groans, we groan, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, groans, but not to despondency, to glory. Oh, praise him. Praise him. It finishes that in this particular verse, he himself makes intercession for the saints according to the will and purpose of God. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, sorry if I keep looking off slightly to my right. I've got some notes. I'm trying out something new. They're stuck on a screen to the side of me. So please forgive me if I keep looking that way. I've not got a twitch. It's the notes. In Christ, we see and we hear, listen, the longing heart of the prodigal father yearning that none should perish. Amen. Right now, this day of opportunity, this day of the Spirit, we see and hear in Christ the longing heart of the father yearning that none should perish. Aching to bring his adopted sons and daughters home. In fact, he also is eagerly awaiting that glorious day. Praise him. We catch a glimpse of this as we look at Christ as he walked on the earth, don't we? There's so many examples. I'll just give you two. Mark reminded us. 2 weeks ago, John chapter 11, Jesus wept. This is what we're talking about here. This is the great groan of the Christ. You actually read the word groan twice in that chapter 2 when he saw Mary in her heartbreak and the whole scene, the whole mourning and death having taken Lazarus. But it's interesting, the word there in John 11 isn't the same as the word in Romans. Get this, it's actually, if you look into the meaning of the word in John 11, it's got a sense of an indignant snort. That's not very pretty, is it? That's just one aspect. There's a sense of that groan in John 11 that is just angry at death and sin. And the awful ramifications and impact of the fall and the brokenness of the whole world and the sense this is not how it should be. This is all wrong. And Jesus, the Christ, stands there in the midst of all the dereliction and sorrow and despondency and grief. And he snorts at it with indignation. Oh, praise him. And there, in the now and the not yet, the kingdom is coming in Christ. He just reverses the whole thing. Temporarily with Lazarus, because Lazarus died again. I don't know if you're aware of that. But you know what? There's a day coming when the last enemy will have no more influence. All tears will be wiped away. Oh, death, where is your sting? Groaning now, glory coming. Praise God. So there was that we were reminded of, weren't we? We were reminded by Brian last week of the last Trump. I was going to make a joke about American politics and eschatology, and it was going to go something like, we're just biding our time for the last Trump. But I thought better of it. So I'll leave that one. But wow. The king is coming, my friends. And there's going to be a final trump. Oh, hallelujah. And the glorious liberty of the sons of God will be revealed. The thing that creation is groaning for, the thing that we in ourselves in this tent are groaning for. And the Holy Spirit of Christ also is groaning. There's just one other very brief example. I know I'm pushing it slightly here, but these things are quite uncontainable, aren't they? This glory. There's a story in Mark where, do you remember the deaf mute is brought to Christ? And they want him to do something. And it says Jesus takes this dear man aside and he puts his fingers in his ears and he spits and he touches his tongue. And then it says he looks up to heaven. It's just a small phrase almost hidden away. He looks up to heaven and with a deep sigh says a word that I can't pronounce in the original, but it means in English, be opened. Oh, glory. This is groaning to glory. The deep sigh is the groaning. He looks to heaven thinking, this isn't how it should be. And then he speaks openness and liberty to that dear man. This is the kingdom breaking in. But listen, what's coming, we haven't seen the like. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. We're to anticipate it, but I'm telling you, we mustn't take away from the glory of the day that is coming. Oh, hallelujah. To be baptized with the Spirit, and I'm going to finish here, to be baptized with the Spirit of God is surely to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. To know his love is to know the joy of heaven, but also the sorrow and the pain of this broken world, of those who currently don't know him. There's ecstasy here, my friends, for the people of God. There's also agony that can only be borne in fellowship with the Christ who bore it all for the sin of the whole world. Oh, praise you, Jesus. And so, in this now and not yet, we groan. We groan for that glorious day. And so, as we've seen, in fact, does creation. And we yearn for many sons to come to glory. And so, in fact, does the Spirit of God, who is the down payment, the guarantee of what's coming, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we're moving from groaning to glory, not groaning to gloom. And this glory is a far more exceeding weight. Praise him.